You are wonderful, and you better enjoy it. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. You are wonderful, and you better enjoy it. I received some beautiful pictures of flowers from a dear friend, and next to each flower that came up on the series of pictures was a statement. Now, most of the statements were rather gentle and lovely, but a number of the statements were tough. They were saying things like, live life to the fullest, because it's the only life you have to live. And life is too short not to enjoy it completely. And if you don't enjoy it completely, it's your fault. And as I read these things and as I saw them, I thought to myself, it's like intimidating me. Telling me something beautiful and then intimidating me if I don't appreciate it. Now, can you imagine God creating a beautiful sky and you looking out at that beautiful sky, having been God and you created it, and then your inner God self says, look at that sky, it's beautiful, look at it, look at it, you know, and you think to yourself, what the heck is this all about? Why must I look at that sky? Maybe I don't see it the way it's being presented by some creation, you know. And so you're intimidated, and you're also infuriated, and you want to get angry about it, and you want to say, no way. And one of the things that it says, live your life as though this is the last day of your life, and enjoy it to the fullest. And I thought, what a bunch of nonsense. What a bunch of nonsense. If you're going to be living with the thought of dying on your mind, then you might as well die and get it over with. If you're going to live with the thought of being a success, then forget it. You'll never be a success. Because every success that you appear to have, it will seem as though it's just the beginning of another success. That you're going to be successful in another way. We look at Bill Gates. He's a good example for all of us. And Bill Gates is a very charming person. And Bill Gates was at Harvard, and he said to himself, oh, this software stuff sounds kind of interesting. And so he quit Harvard to take a job on a piece of software because it seemed very, very beneficial to him. Now, he didn't quit Harvard because if I quit Harvard, oh dear, I'll never be a success, I won't have a degree, and I can't go on and this and that and the other thing, which is the story that his parents and the world had been teaching him, you know. But he just followed his heart. And his heart says, Bill, stick your nose in here. Stick your nose in here. And so he did. And he got so excited, he brought his friends in. And they stuck their nose in. And pretty soon, they were so involved in it that it just was the most wonderful thing in the world. And then he surrounded himself with beautiful people who were business people, who were oriented to do all of the various aspects of operating a business. And so he did his thing and they did their thing. And he enjoyed doing his thing. Well, as time went on and the business began to make demands upon other areas, and because it was his business, he had to stand up for the law. He had to stand up for the rules that businesses are operated under. He had to stand up for all sorts of things. And he was slowly drifting away from doing what he loved to do, being creative in his software. Years went on, and he became exceedingly wealthy. And it's not that he became exceedingly wealthy, it's just that his money that he invested and his projects that he invested in just kept growing and growing beautifully. But he was not a happy man. He growled at his associates and he shouted at them. He screamed at them. He stamped his feet and he argued with them and he swore at them. And he was just not the kind of man that you really would like. Yet he was a very nice guy, but he was out of his water. He was out of his element. He was doing things that didn't make him happy. And so that showed out in how he responded to his associates. And then at one point he formed this corporation to be a philanthropic corporation where he gave money away and helped with projects and so forth. And this is early in the game that he did this. And little by little, they gave money to worthy causes and to projects that he felt were good. And that made his heart feel very good. And it made him feel younger and more dynamic. And then he continued with his work. And he fought the federal government, and he fought the governments of the world because they said he was into their rights. And perhaps his companies were. And he perhaps didn't have any idea what it was until he was told, and then he had to make sure that it was all done in the proper way, which he did. But he fought and fought and fought and fought and fought. He did, whenever he did what turned him on, he was happy and everything was great. Whenever he did what didn't turn him on, then he was angry and upset, and his tension and anxiety would certainly shorten his life. Then he gave his wife the full-time job of running the philanthropic corporation, giving away money. And as I said before often, his wife would come home from work with a smile on her face, and he'd come home from work with a growl. And he liked what he saw with her, and he didn't like what he saw with him. And he said, "I don't understand this, you know. You have a bigger budget to work with than I have, and yet it doesn't disturb you. And I have all the little itsy-bitsy things that I'm working with, and they disturb me." And so they discussed it back and forth. And Bill came to the conclusion that he was most happy when he was just being himself and finding creative ways to do things. And so he quit Microsoft, he quit his baby, he quit his love, and he went into this philanthropic corporation, giving away money. You say, well, anybody could handle that, you know, $27 billion on their budget, not bad, you know. But he did that. And once he did that, then he found out there was not one thing that he had to do. There was not one thing he had to do. What he found out was that he listened to different projects and he heard about different ideas. Some were kind of harebrained and some were kind of brainy. And so whatever his judgment said, hey, I like that idea. Let's support this project. Let's see if we can do anything. Maybe I can throw a few ideas in there for them too, you know, because it's my project. I'm not worried about getting money back. I'm just blessing them with all the goodness I can. And so as he's doing this, and he is doing this, as he's doing this with entrepreneurial projects and so forth, the projects are just blossoming and growing leaps and bounds. In fact, his own corporation, the money, instead of being spent, is growing. He's supposed to be spending $27 billion, and it keeps growing every year because it just has to. It just has to because it is invested in, it's not just hanging out there in the bank waiting for you to spend it. It's invested in different things too. So Bill is doing these things because he's happy and he's joyous. Now, I quite imagine that Bill will live a long, wonderful life. And his sisters and his dad will live a long, wonderful life, and his children will live a long, wonderful life because they will be raised in this environment of giving and sharing and loving and encouraging other people to be their best. encouraging the entrepreneurial organizations to be fantastic, encouraging countries where they could benefit from hospitals and schools and roads and different things. And a little bit of his largesse goes to them, and he can make the decision right on the spot because he's the boss. And that's a wonderful way to do it. Lots of other people who are in these corporations, their names are in them at least, they have to ask the corporation for permission to do what they want to do when they find out things they want to do, because it's not their personal corporation, even though they're head of it. Well, Bill Gates has a different situation there, and let's know that he always keeps it that way too. And so he is a blessing to himself and to everyone else because he's being himself and having fun. Now, here he is in his 50s or 60s, 50s, I think it is, and he's just becoming more and more younger and dynamic and happy, and he's spending time with his wife, time with his family. He's spending time in his home. He's traveling around the world, having fun, and quite likely he'll take his kids along after a while, and they too will see the world and learn about the world and how beautiful and wonderful it is. And learn about the world from the infinite abundance level. Because Bill doesn't have to spend any of the corporation money, philanthropy money, on his personal needs because he's well supported by his own assets. Because he is still one of the wealthiest, I think if not the wealthiest, one of the wealthiest men on earth. Now, interesting, isn't it interesting that this man, at this stage and in this level of awareness, could change from being a hardcore money-making project running Microsoft programming thing to being a loving, dedicated, sharing, giving, beautiful being. How wonderful. Now, I just say to you and me, if Bill can do it, there's hope for all of us. There is hope for all of us. As soon as we start loving ourselves, being ourselves and having fun, going out and enjoying every single thing we can enjoy, and giving, giving, giving. Whenever we are in an organization and the organization says, "Will you do this, please?" "Yes, glad to." If the organization says, "Well, will you stop doing that and do this?" "Sure." You won't say, "But I'm right in the middle of it. I'm just about to the end of it. If I stop now, I'll start all over again." That's not the point. If you can stop because your employer, your boss, your authority says stop, and do something different. If you can stop without any without any feeling about it, without any emotion, without any tension, you have gained the greatest gift on earth. The gift of no tensions, no anxiety. You just flow with whatever the program is you got. And we have a young man in Togo who wants to come to the university and be a monk. And I told him, the rules are, first you be a student of the university so that you know what this is all about here. You do your lessons and you show your diligence and you show your sincerity and so forth. And then when you have done that, then you can consider coming to the university and being a monk. But until then, we don't want monks on the university who are not in the philosophy of the university. If you want to be a Catholic, be in a Catholic monastery. If you want to be a Lutheran, be in a Lutheran monastery, etc., etc. If you want to be a Buddhist, be in a Buddhist monastery. If you want to be a God Unlimited, then come and be in the Absolute Monastery. So it's not that we're for or against anyone. It's just that, what are you ready for? What are you ready for? Am I going to teach you what I learned in Science of Mind, in Unity, in the Congregational Church, in the Chicago Theological Seminary, in Science of Mind and Unity? Am I going to teach you what I learned there? Well, I hope not. I would rather think that I have made a step, and now I am me, and I am sharing with you my attitudes and my understanding and my awareness. And it may not be as good as Ernest Holmes or Charles Fillmore, you know. It may not be as good in your mind. And if it isn't, then that's where you belong. But if you think that what we teach here is supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, if you think what we teach here is the greatest thing that you have ever heard or seen, then follow it. Follow it 100%. Wherever you are, whether you're here or there or anywhere, follow it. Live it. But don't go saying something should change and people should change and that the university should change and that the absolute monastery should change and that the people in the world should change. No. You are where you are. And if you are here, be here. If you're not here, be there. Be wherever you are. And so this is what I say to all those who seek to come to the Absolute Monastery, and we have a lot of them. And when I travel around the world, everybody wants to carry my luggage for me. They want to say, gee, you know, being with you is such an uplifting experience. And I say, well, that's nothing. Being with yourself should be the really uplifting experience. And they want to come here, and they want to be here, and they want to worship me, and they want to follow me, and I say, boy, oh boy, are you missing the boat? Are you missing the boat? If you follow me and worship me, you're like in kindergarten. If you follow yourself and worship yourself, then you're in heaven. So think about these things. Think about these things. Bill Gates is happy not because he's doing what the world thinks he should do. He's happy because he's doing what he thinks he should do. And you? You may be a housewife, you may be a day worker, you may be anything at all. You may be a university professor, you may be a minister, you may be anything. And if you like what you're doing, then do it. Do you think Einstein liked what he did?
Yes.
Do you think he cared about the outer? Not at all. Do you think, Stephen Hawkins over in London, do you think that he cares what people think about him? He doesn't even think about himself. He's only thinking about ideas. He's thinking about his imagination. He's thinking about whatever he's thinking about in the now. And he's the happiest man in the universe. How can he be so happy when he's got so many problems? You see the problems. He doesn't. If he were to put his mind on his problems, he would not last very long. But he puts his mind on his dreams, on his goals, on his love. And he is the happiest man in the world. Enjoy, because you are the happiest man in the world, happiest woman in the world right now. If you just open your eyes and see, you're breathing, you're smiling, you're doing everything. And when Bill wants his staff to do a better job, what does he do to them? Anybody? What
gives
does he
a
do?
Bonus.
I'm sorry?
Gives a bonus.
Gives a bonus. Yeah. No, no, you see, the bonus is not it. Because he praises them and they do better. When the boss praises you, the bonus is great. The bonus money is great, but when you feel good inside yourself because somebody who is your superior says you're doing a good job, you feel wonderful. You feel on top of the world. Now, I say to each of us, let us give the bonus or let us give the praise to each one of us and say to your body, I like me. Say to your mind, I like me. Say to your world, I like me. It's your creation. Say to everything, I like me. And just watch how it is whole and perfect, operating at peak performance at all times. Start now and join me as I say, I love you, I love you, I love you.
I love you.